I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, offering you a safe space if you're an independent thinker out there. This is Friday. Next hour, we will get into False Flag Friday. A little bit of a report on what's going on in Ukraine, and then some kind of just some other random foreign policy stuff. The disaster, the decades-long unfolding disaster of American foreign policy that has bankrupted our country. And then we will finish up as we always do. And I'm going to have to carve out some time for this week on the crazy train. This week, as Joe Biden descends more into his cocoon of Alzheimer's. When it comes to clips, he is the gift that keeps on giving. That actually makes me feel a little dirty. It almost feels unfair. Obviously, senior citizens who begin to have a brain disease is not a funny thing. But Joe Biden, posing, pretending, playing, LARPing as our president right now, is the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to gaffes. I mean, there are some pretty funny ones, some pretty funny things going around Biden. So I've got a bunch of Biden clips for this week on the crazy train. Lots to get into today. We'll start out with quotes of the day. George Carlin again, the great George Carlin said, "If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to have selfish, ignorant leaders." What do they say? You get the government that you deserve. We are getting and have gotten the government that we deserve. That's unfortunate. It's up to us to deserve better by being better. And this was kind of an interesting one. Keith Olbermann. Here's what Keith Olbermann tweeted out. Keith Olbermann, one of the worst media personalities to have possibly ever existed. He is truly horrific. If you've seen any of his rants. I don't know how this guy is still alive. He has got to have just raging blood pressure. He's one of the angriest guys out there, but completely humorless. But Keith Olbermann said something on Twitter that I thought was just kind of interesting, and maybe we're fellow travelers on something. He says, "It has become necessary to dissolve the Supreme Court of the United States." This is, of course, his response to the ruling about carrying in New York. "The first step is for a state, the court has now forced guns upon, to ignore this ruling. Great, you're a court? Why and how do you think you can enforce your rulings? Hashtag ignore the court." Now, I got to tell you, I have a little bit of a soft spot in my heart for the idea of ignoring any parts of our federal government. I'm not a big fan of 9 people in robes, politically appointed, lording over all of us. So the beautiful thing about libertarian ideas is that you can pretty much do whatever you want to as far as a libertarian. If a bunch of you, if you're a family, you want to set up a commune, you want to get a bunch of people within a city to willingly all contribute all of their cash into one big pot and create your socialist utopia, libertarianism supports you fully as long as you don't force anybody else into it. As a matter of fact, I encourage people to try socialism, even within a small group. You got a few roommates? Try socialism with just 2 or 3 people. Let's see how well that works out for you. I encourage everybody to try to set their own course. Try whatever you want. I predict it will not end well, but I don't know. I'm not a Keith Olbermann fan at all, but the idea of ignoring things is really kind of the platform of this show. It's what I've decided to do. I ignore as much as I possibly can that comes out of Washington, D.C. A little bit of economic stuff going on. Markets are actually rising right now, and here's the play that's going on right now to try to narrate what's happening as we enter this great financial crisis, greatest financial crisis that we are careening into. Markets are rising because of bad economic news around the world. Now, here is why, and this is not the first time this phenomenon has happened, where bad news is good news for the markets. Here's why Wall Street says bad news is good news for stocks. As the economy here in the U.S. and around the world, particularly in the Western world, as the economy slides into worldwide recession again, Wall Street knows that the Federal Reserve will chicken out on raising interest rates. Now, I've been saying this since they first started talking about, air quotes here in the studio, seriously combating inflation. When the Federal Reserve, Wall Street knows that the Fed might raise rates again and it will cause further weakness in the economy, and the Fed will chicken out because they will not do the hard work of raising interest rates to tamp down inflation. They will chicken out and they will lower rates. They might get two or three more raises in them, but it is now being predicted that by the fourth quarter of this year, they will start cutting interest rates again. So, what does that mean for you? Settle in for years of ever-increasing inflation. I mean, it's to the point where I should tell you, enjoy these days. I know everybody's complaining about the inflation. You better embrace it. Because these are going to be some of the good days. You're living in the good times. When we look back on the 10 years that are coming, the future is going to get real with inflation. The Fed, I've discovered, the Federal Reserve, one of the problems, or not one of the main driver of inflation has been the Federal Reserve's creation of money. We call it printing money here, but I hope people understand now that they don't actually print the currency. They just enter digits onto a screen and ship it off to a bank or to the U.S. Treasury. They just create it on the magical computer somewhere. But the Fed says the Fed has printed up all this money. They have created the inflation. As much as some people want to blame it on Biden and some people want to blame it on Putin, the actual truth is what neither side is actually talking about. It is the Federal Reserve itself. I've talked about this endlessly. I won't bore you with it anymore. But the Federal Reserve said they are committed to fighting this inflation. So I've just told you they're going to chicken out probably within this calendar year, which will just seal inflation into the cake and make it even worse. But another part of fighting inflation at the Federal Reserve level is they were supposed to this month start taking money out, some of that freshly printed money. It's called quantitative tightening. You've heard quantitative easing. I explained that to you. It's where they create money out of thin air and go out into the bond market and just buy bonds, essentially just loan either our government or mortgage companies money. Money that never existed before. They just make it up out of thin air and put it out into the economy. This month, in their efforts to, air quotes here in the studio, fight inflation, they're supposed to be withdrawing some of that money to help tame inflation. Turns out the last week, they've conjured up about $20 billion more. They're supposed to be withdrawing, I believe this month was the start of it, in June. They're supposed to be withdrawing $90 billion a month out of the economy. The money that created the inflation in the first place. They're supposed to start pulling it back in an effort to combat inflation. They have not only not withdrawn $90 billion this year, they've actually printed $20 billion more. And what's interesting to me is I played the hearing where the head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, was being questioned, and the Bill Hagerty from Tennessee, a Republican from Tennessee, got him to admit that inflation was going on before Putin invaded Ukraine, but they didn't ask him anything about the Fed's role in inflation because both parties are in on this scam. And it's very interesting to me that now that I know, me, little old me, down in Jackson, Mississippi, can figure out that the Federal Reserve is actually printing more money right now, causing more inflation right now. And let me tell you this, too. The interest rates that they're set at right now, because they're so below the inflation rate, where are we now? Like 1.75% in Fed funds rate? Because they're so far under inflation, it's actually inflationary. They're making it worse. But if little old me down in Jackson, Mississippi can see that they created $20 billion more, I believe in just the last week, certainly during the course of June, rather than withdrawing $90 billion, why didn't any of these Republicans or Democrat Congress critters question Jerome Powell? Hey, man, you said you were going to start taking some of this money out of the economy to address inflation. But I'm looking at your balance sheet and it shows you're actually adding more printed money into the economy that will create worse inflation. Strangely enough, we didn't hear anything about that. I reported on Sri Lanka a couple of weeks ago. They had had one day. This is going to be a global crisis. This is going to be a global financial crisis. It always starts with some of the weakest among us. But a couple of weeks ago, I reported that Sri Lanka only had one day of fuel left for their country in reserves. Well, it's gone.
Breaking news, actually. I'm bringing in tomorrow in just a second. But Sri Lanka's prime minister, apparently he has said that the troubled economy of Sri Lanka, as you know, we've been covering that story here on Sky News. There has been some significant unrest, and including burning down buildings. He's now telling us that the economy has collapsed, with the country unable to pay for oil imports. What's going to happen as a result of that? Beautiful island, of course, Sri Lanka, very rich and varied, but big economic problems at the moment, and the economy, we're told, has collapsed, with the country unable to pay for oil imports.
Wow. So it's gone. Sri Lanka, the economy has collapsed there. This is very sad for the people of Sri Lanka, but this is how it starts. You'll start to see these things, and I wanted to also play this. I want you to hear a sound. Going to be a Mike Madison prediction here. This is a sound. Well, I'll just go ahead and play it. This is Ecuador right now. And it's this is coming off of Twitter. It's audio. Can't see it. It's a much more compelling visual image, but this is what it sounds like in Ecuador right now. Now, that's not really compelling. You can't see it. But what this is Ecuadorians just packed into the streets right around some of the government buildings. And much like what they proposed January 6th was, this is crowds that are forcing their way into some of these government buildings. They've all got sticks. This is big in some of the third world countries. They just carry big sticks. They slap stuff on the walls, and they break things, and they break windows and things like that. They're taking over the government buildings. The reason that I'm going to play a little bit more of this sound. Now, I don't know what they're saying. I don't speak Spanish, but it's interesting in the video there. They've taken oil barrels and cut them into shields. Looks like they could probably, I think it looks to me like you could get about 3 shields out of every oil can, judging by the width of these things. The reason I bring this up, this is going to be the United States at some point when we finally catch a clue. But we're going to have to go into full-on financial crisis. Because right now, what I would imagine in this Ecuadorian crowd, I would imagine that a few years ago, 6 months ago, maybe even in Ecuador, probably a lot of people in this crowd disagreed with each other on some things. They probably voted differently in Ecuador. I don't know what happens. I don't know if they're as sick on social media in Ecuador as we are, but I bet you a lot of people in this crowd were fighting with each other on Twitter and Facebook or whatever the equivalent, whatever the Ecuadorian equivalent of social media was. They were probably calling for each other to be canceled. They were screaming at each other in protest. And now the rug's been pulled out from underneath them. And I would imagine everybody is realizing, uh-oh, we're all in the same boat. And now these crowds are going after the Ecuadorian government that has just destroyed their economy as well. So Sri Lanka, Ecuador, my point being, all of you people out there playing your partisan games and screaming at each other on Twitter and Facebook and just living in the hate, reveling in the hate, while the rug is being pulled out from underneath every single one of you. You will be in the streets shoulder to shoulder. This is the Mike Madison prediction. At some point, you will be shoulder to shoulder with those that you're screaming at right now. When you finally catch a clue that you're all on the receiving end, you think you hate the Trump supporter if you're on the left. You think they're a Nazi. You know nothing about them, but you believe the media that they're a bunch of white supremacists. Or you're the Trump supporter or Republican, and you believe all Democrats are just evil people. You will be, at some point, and maybe sooner rather than later in this country's history, you will be with them shoulder to shoulder storming governments when you are hungry, when the Republican child and the Democrat child, or neither one, are being fed. When the Republican and the Democrat are both fired from their jobs, laid off because of the bad economy. When the hyperinflation costs the Republican and the Democrat, the black and the white. When you finally realize the game that's been run on you, you'll probably drop some of that screaming at each other in the streets and actually go after the people that have caused this mess. It's happening in Ecuador right now and Sri Lanka. It's just a matter of time before it gets here. Be right back.
The way I always do. How was I to know? She was with the Russians too.
All right, we are back, and it is a big news day today for sure. We were expecting the Supreme Court wrapping up what they're doing, and we knew that before a weekend is usually when they drop some big news. The Sunday talk shows are lining up right now to do their thing, but they usually drop the big stuff on us on the weekends, and Roe versus Wade, Roe has been overturned. I've got Jim Thorne in here with me. Jim, you've kind of been on the front lines of this for years and years, so what are your thoughts on what's going on now?
Well, of course, it's a great decision and long overdue. There's really not a constitutional right to abortion. I think a lot of legal experts have said that through the years. So the Supreme Court, they're doing what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And, of course, we grieve and we are so saddened by the carnage that's been left over the last, almost 50 years, 62 million unborn children aborted. Millions and millions of women are hurting right now because of the abortion. But there's a lot of work to be done. But still, a lot of children are going to be saved because of this decision. And I tell you what, people are talking about, the president and all this. Donald Trump, he was the one that that appointed these conservative judges. Yeah. So, I mean, this is going to be his legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a looks like it was a 5-4 or 5-3 is what I thought I saw decision. So there's opinions on both sides, but this was pretty, obviously this is widely known. They leaked this.
Yeah.
It's going to be especially sad to see what takes place over the course of the weekend. They're yeah. anticipating violence around
exactly.
this, which I'll yeah. be honest with you, I don't understand.
Yeah.
This has not stripped women of that right. It has given the states the ability to get it out of their states for
right.
right now, as
that's
I understand
right.
it. And so, as you say, a lot of states will opt out of this, and that's a beautiful thing for states that want to make that choice.
And here in Mississippi, we have one abortion clinic left, and the numbers that I've heard is they do 3,000 a year, I think, something
yeah.
like that. It's just unthinkable. But we'll find out probably in the next few days the status of that clinic. They've already stated publicly that they may move to another state. But I know there are a lot of people out there that have been in this fight for many, many, many years, and it's a good day.
Yeah, and to think that Mississippi played such a pivotal
yeah,
part in
exactly.
this is very interesting.
Exactly.
Dobbs is going to have his name sealed in history.
That's right.
Maybe for something a little bit more positive than how he performed for a couple mm-hmm. of years here for Mississippians. But this is a big ruling.
One thing to mention too, Mike, and I think a lot of people don't know this, but they probably do. But the pro-lifers have no monetary incentive in this,
right?
And the abortion industry, you look at how much money Planned Parenthood gets a year, maybe $500 million,
right?
Plus donations and all this. And so this is you know, this is a thing that I think in large part Christians can thank God about, but at the same time, we've got a lot to do. If you're a pro-lifer, there's still a lot of work to be done.
Right, right.
Taking care of these women who are pregnant.
Right. You know, and yeah, the other side of this thing is too. I think the charges against pro-life people are. I've had this conversation with many people who are pro-choice. And I say, you know, to them, can you at least admit there's an honor in these people who believe they are defending a life? There's this idea that pro-life people just want to control women and control their bodies. It's such an odd thing because it's just patently not true. That's not what this is about at all. It is about acknowledging that there is a life there and trying to stand up to protect that life. And, you know, I've been able to get some pro-choice people to say at least they can understand and have some admiration for the intent of that. But just like everything else, they couch this, particularly in the media and on the left, as some kind of an attack on women themselves when it is not at all that.
No. And, you know, the crisis pregnancy centers, what do? They give their
women
services for free.
Right.
They do everything they can. They have people that are adoption agencies. They're people, you know, their children are wanted by
right.
people who are trying to adopt. So, yeah, we're going to hear all kinds of things from the left-wing media.
Oh, it's going to be
major
hysteria.
Media. It's going to be, yeah, hysteria is the word.
And I hate this, too, because this is another thing that's just really driven people to divide us.
Right.
I mean, this has been used. And I'll tell you right now, the ties back to the beginning of this through Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood should not be ignored.
Exactly.
And particularly for, you know, what are considered these days as disenfranchised communities of color, they have suffered disproportionately from this.
Exactly.
And this white woman who was one of the first people who, and eugenics was, and I believe still is, but it was called eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to cull the herd, and they thought they were doing it for the good of society, or they're just psychopaths who said these words. This was a eugenics program by a very, really, a very nasty, nasty woman that, like you say, has cost 62 million lives, disproportionately people of color.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, here in Mississippi, you have, you know, mostly black women who are getting abortions. It's like 70%, 75%. And those that are trying to defend life, by and large, they're white.
Yeah.
You know?
Trying to defend unborn black babies.
That's right.
I mean, I don't quite understand where the idea that these people, you know, the pro-life people are bad for wanting to do that. It's very, very, very odd thing to see people who are trying to actually bring a new baby, a black baby into the world as somehow the enemy. But that's where we sit right now. Well, this is certainly a huge, huge decision this weekend. I hope that, you know, Mississippi has not been on the, we're kind of in the middle of the seesaw. You know, things aren't ever as extreme here. We don't typically see violence and things that you might see in some of the big cities where these things are really, really whipped up. So hopefully Mississippi, even though we're kind of the epicenter of this thing, hopefully we don't see violence and that kind of stuff around here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, thanks, Jim Thorne.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Yeah, all right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard, melted, but we still have the radio. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. All right, Roe versus Wade has been overturned at the Supreme Court level. This will be the biggest story of the day, the weekend, the month, and maybe the year. Maybe for years to come. This is a biggie. You're going to hear about this for the rest of the day. As I say, it's going to be all the weekend. Next week, I'm going to be out of town. Stephen Utroska will be sitting in for me on Monday and Tuesday. And I know Stephen has been involved in pro-life stuff. I'm sure he will cover this. I've got stuff that I want to cover, and I'll couch it in this term because it seems a little dereliction of duty to not cover something so monumental for the rest of the show. But I've got segments that I do, and I also... I believe we have a task ahead of us, too, that we need to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. This is, as Jim says, there's still work to be done. There still will be some states that opt in, and you will need to, you know, try to help the women who are seeking abortions in the states that still allow it and make it readily accessible for people. So there's still work to be done. I believe there's another attack on the living children that we have now.
And I could do this, but I'm not going to let these clips sit for over a week, because people are making decisions right now for our children that have been born, and that's when it comes to these shots. So hopefully that's a good, hopefully this is a good segue, that it becomes actually relevant to what we're seeing right now. We've had a victory for the unborn. I would like to see some victories for the born, the children that we have right now, the innocent toddlers and teens that we are descending on right now with this genetic experiment through the vaccine. And I've got these clips that I can't not play. I cannot not play these things because there are people making decisions right now whether or not they are going to inject the children that have been born, that are with us now, that are innocent, that cannot speak up for themselves. I did a quote yesterday, I believe it was, day before, from it was an Indian chief, Chief Dan George, who said, children can't object to the mistakes of adults. They suffer them. And this is one of the biggest ones. Now, there's some encouraging news when it comes to this shot, in that most parents, so I guess I'm really talking, I'm trying to reach that last 20% of parents. Most parents are not down with this genetic experiment on our children.
Many parents are in no rush to get their kids the shot. An April survey found that fewer than 1 in 5 parents said they are eager to vaccinate their child as soon as the shot became available.
We don't feel confident enough at this point to make that decision. We would really like to wait a little while and see what happens.
And many parents of children who have recently had COVID are wondering if it's even worth getting the shot. But no. Pfizer tells ABC News every child should get the shots regardless if they've gotten COVID, because it adds extra protection against reinfection as well as serious complications should they get infected again.
We have to look at the data. It clearly shows that the benefits far outweigh any risks related to these vaccines.
Oh, my gosh. You see, I cannot ignore this. That's just a lie. That is just a lie. They have shown, well, these clips will show you. You want to know the efficacy of this vaccine. They're telling you now that even if your child, and the statistic is out now that 75% of children have had COVID. 75% have had COVID. You want to know the efficacy of these vaccines? Because they are telling you now, even if your child has had COVID and has now got natural antibodies to COVID, they're telling you to still go out and get this shot. That is absolutely wrong. You are now more likely to get COVID if you've had the shot. And this is taking place. Listen to this. This is Dr. Paul Marks.
Data from Israel and data from the National Health System in the UK. So this is official data, show that those who vaccinated are more likely to get COVID and be hospitalized than the unvaccinated. So let me say that again. These vaccines provide negative protection. You're more likely to get COVID if you're vaccinated. And this is data from the National Health System in the UK, as well as from Israel. So this persistent narrative of safe and effective is a complete and utter lie. They're ineffective and they're dangerous and they're not safe. There's absolutely, at this time, no group of patients who would actually benefit from the vaccine. None.
And particularly our toddlers and teens, for the love of God. You are more likely to be hospitalized or die with COVID if you've had the shot than if you haven't. And they are sending this out on kids. Kids are not the first victims of this thing. This has affected people in all age groups. But one of the most tragic things is, and this we can kind of harken back to the Roe versus Wade thing, where we're talking about the safety of the unborn. This is Dr. Blaylock. This is Dr. Blaylock, and I want you to, he's a doctor. He's a, I believe he's a neurosurgeon. He's practiced here at UMC. I believe he was at Tulane for a period of time and was here at University Medical Center as well. And he explains to you, they have been giving this shot to pregnant women. The major medical associations, your AMAs, Association of OBGYNs, have been recommending that pregnant women go out and get this shot. Here's what Dr. Blaylock had to say about that.
Well, doctor, you used the strong, very strong phrase, designated human tragedy of biblical proportions. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, like I said, I think what this is about is depopulation. Because what we're going to see, even though there's been a horrendous death rate so far, we're talking about worldwide, millions have died after this vaccine. It's estimated now, and a pretty good estimate, that 500,000 Americans have died after the vaccination. Now, that's just the very early beginnings of this. What we're looking at now, what's going to happen chronically. And you look at the studies, the safety studies, no long-term studies were done. Not a single one. No studies were done on pregnant women to see what will happen if you vaccinate pregnant women. Not a single study was done. Just as soon as the vaccine rolled out, the American College of Obstetric Gynecology and the other groups that are medical associations said, all pregnant women should go and get vaccinated with this vaccine. Well, why would you say that if there was not a single safety study? There's no long-term study. Say, well, what happens to these children?
Not a single safety study done on vaccinating pregnant women, yet the people who cater to, specifically to, the OBGYNs out there, and I'm sure it's not all of them, not to the individual doctor. I'm sure there's plenty of OBGYNs that were looking around at their colleagues and saying, you're telling me to tell my patients what? You're telling me to tell my patients to go out and get this untested vaccine? There's been no studies on pregnant women. And it has not turned out well. This is Dr. Christine Northrup. Or Christiane Northrup. I want you to listen to these statistics. If you want a day of victory for the unborn, there's still work to be done, as Jim Thorne said. Not just on the abortion issue, but on this issue of giving these shots to our toddlers, to our teens, and to our pregnant women. Listen to what Dr. Christiane Northrup had to say.
I heard this from my colleague, Dr. Carrie Made, who's been in touch with fertility clinics. They've never seen anything like it. The sperm of inoculated men does not swim. The eggs of inoculated women do not grow into embryos. And those that do have a huge amount of contamination with stuff that's non-organic. What's going on here? We also know that according to the first New England Journal of Medicine study saying that Pfizer was safe and effective, this was in June of 2021. If you look at the raw data, it proves that 80% of the women who get the shot in the first and second trimester, basically 0 to 20 weeks, have an 80% miscarriage rate. Now, the miscarriage rate, just baseline, is 1 in 6. It's now 7 to 8 times that much. Dr. James Thorpe points out that there's a 79% increase in fetal malformations.
Oh,
there are unprecedented numbers of stillbirths. But again, this stuff becomes so censored that the mainstream says, oh, no, you know, that's a lie. You're making that up. We also just published My Cycle Story with many scientists, including Dr. Hooker here, where we had a database of over 6,000 women that came forward because their voices were being silenced. We had a group of about 20,000 women on Facebook who were talking about their experience with their menstrual cycle. They'd never seen anything like it. 90-year-olds beginning bleeding again. And we're not talking mild bleeding. We're talking clotting. I had women calling me who had been passing clots for weeks and weeks. We have two VAERS cases of little girls, 18-month-old girls, who hemorrhaged and died.
What are we doing? You know, I started out this thing when they first started talking about this shot, Operation Warp Speed. And I guess I could say I equivocated, but what I said at the time, and I maintained this for before these things started being injected and we started to see the numbers on VAERS being reported, the problems with these shots, I said, this may be the greatest leap in medical science in our lifetimes. I was certainly open to that. But I was not down with the idea of a mass inoculation program with something that had no safety studies to speak of whatsoever, nothing long term. And as we found out since then, even the safety trials that were done short term were manipulated. People were just discounted who had problems, kicked out of studies. When they did the study on toddlers, They started out with 4,500 people in the study. They lost 3,000 of them. They don't know. Nobody knows why they dropped out of the study. It's not reported. 3,000 of the 4,500 kids dropped out of the study, did not complete it. We have no idea why. But I said maybe this will, maybe mRNA will be the way of the future and it will solve disease as we know it. I'm perfectly open to that. Science can be phenomenal. But the fear was that there were unintended consequences of these things, things that we couldn't know without long-term testing. And boy, it seems like those fears are coming true. And it is about to get worse. I hate to be Daryl Downer here, but I couldn't believe this. This is a jaw-drop moment, I'm telling you. With a victory for the unborn, we need to focus in as well on the born. Moderna is about to run a new study. Get a load of this.
Moderna says it's planning to test its COVID vaccine in babies as young as 3 months, starting in September.
3 months old. They're not satisfied down to the six. Pretty soon, you are going to have a needle. If we do not get out ahead of this and stop this, they're going to have a needle waiting for your baby as it emerges from the birth canal. They've already got some same day, I believe, same day of birth inoculations, like hepatitis for some reason. They give that shot to a child as they emerge. Down to 3 months. Moderna is testing this thing on 3 months old. You know, the Africans out in the deserts had it right. I used to hear stories back in the 1990s of the vaccination programs coming to these small villages in Africa, and the people there would run for the hills. I'm talking literally. They would grab their kids, they would run away from the town, and they would hide until the vaccination people left. And I remember at the time thinking, what a bunch of savage idiots running from modern medicine with all their witch doctor superstitions. Nope, turns out I was wrong. They were right. If one of these doctors comes after your child with a needle full of this genetic experiment, you need to grab that children up in your arms and run away from that doctor. They should not be injecting your toddler or teen. This is an ongoing humanitarian tragedy, and now they're going to take it down to 6 months old. Luckily, it sounds like 80% of parents are willing to take a wait-and-see approach. But for those 20%, if you are related to any of these 20%, greet them with love. Understand, they're not bad parents. They think they're protecting their kids, but you need to interject. All the people that have done great work on pro-life stuff have had a huge victory today. We need to be pro-life to the born children, too. We need to, with love, approach these parents who are considering inoculating their kids with this untested, and even in the test came out bad. I've already played the clip repeatedly this week. We need to step in front of this shot for these toddlers. And look, you know, there's always the risk where somehow on this show or you convince somebody to not get the shot. You always think in the back of your mind, oh my gosh, I convinced them not to get the shot. What happens if they get COVID and die? Look, the chance of, if you are scared that your toddler or your teen may get COVID and die, if that is your fear, with the statistics the way they are, there's statistically zero chance of getting and having a bad outcome from COVID. If you have that kind of fear for the life of your child, you can't put your child into a car at any point. Your chance of your child being injured in a car or your teen with their new driver's license being injured on the roads is so much larger than any possibility of a really horrific outcome from COVID that if you are weighing what you need to do to protect your child's life with the statistics around COVID, meaning no children are affected by COVID, statistically zero, you can't put your child into a car because you are taking a bigger risk to put your child into a car and take them to a daycare session every day. You're taking a bigger risk with your child there than you are leaving them alone with COVID, letting them just be exposed to it. 75% of the children already having it. This is a currently running humanitarian tragedy. Now, we don't know. I can't tell you what's going to happen to these kids in 5, 10, 15 years because there are no studies to guide us. But you look at the results we've had with the grown-ups, with the pregnant women, it's not looking good. As a matter of fact, it is looking horrific. If you know somebody considering this thing for their child, with love, reach out to them and try to get them to reconsider or at least take a breath and wait for a little while. Let them see what is going on.
It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
All right, I've only got a few seconds left, but I'm going to tuck this clip in here with it too, because you have to understand when it comes to these shots, we've got to keep our vigilance up. Check this out.
At least this year, we do need more money, but we don't just need more money for vaccines for children eventually. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic.
There you go. They're not going to stop with this stuff. We need to cut these shots off now, now, now.
Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Say it again, y'all.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Now, in light of the victory for the pro-life in this country when it comes to the abortion debate and the overturning of Roe versus Wade, I've still got stuff I want to do, and I think we've got a lot of issues. My stance when it comes to foreign policy stuff, I am vocally, admittedly, proudly anti-war. I've had a young girl here on, Anya Baker. She has been very involved in the pro-life movement here in Mississippi. And I've had her on to talk about something called, I think it's consistent pro-life. I forget the exact title of what she's involved in. But it means respect for life at all levels. She's, as I say, she's dedicated her life to the pro-life battle. But she's also dedicated her life and speaks out a lot about the fact that, you know, killing people half a world away, innocent people dying anywhere, is also a pro-life issue. And every Friday, 10 to 10:30 around, I do False Flag Friday to try to convince people you've been duped into the wars that have created so much death around the world. If you are pro-life, this is also another cause you should take up. The wars that we fight, the money that we spend, the death at the hands of the psychopaths in Washington, D.C. is a pro-life issue to me. I don't care if the people, I don't know the people, if they're half a world away, if they're a different color or a different ethnicity or any of those things. Pro-life is pro-life. Needlessly ending lives is to be opposed. And so I do False Flag Friday to try to insert that idea to people's minds in this Christian nation of ours, the idea that we have allowed it to be hijacked by people and in our name have murdered millions of people around the world in order to carry out the wishes of a very small select group and industry is wrong. It's as wrong as anything else we're talking about today. I've got several things to just kind of throw in here today. The war in Ukraine is ongoing. This is False Flag Friday, by the way. The war in Ukraine is ongoing. It is just perpetuated by the West and Zelensky. Again, this could have been ended in an afternoon by admitting to an autonomous area in eastern Ukraine for ethnic Russians and that Crimea stays with Russia. This never needed to happen. But I want to just remind everybody of something as they champion. Oh, I see Ben Stiller has gone over to meet with Zelensky. Is this something new? I don't really follow it, but the hero Zelensky, I want to remind everybody that Zelensky, this Jeffersonian leader of that great democracy in Ukraine, I reported on earlier this week, they have abolished their main opposition party. Earlier, they had done away with 10 other political parties in Ukraine, I believe, and now they have abolished the main opposition party and confiscated its assets, supposedly in this bastion of democracy in Ukraine that we are stumbling over ourselves to shovel taxpayer dollars at in this war against Russia. The country's Ministry of Justice announced the move via Facebook, revealing that the opposition platform for life had been shut down and its assets, money, and property transferred to the state. The party had previously had its operations suspended in March after it was accused of being complicit with Russia and being, quote, anti-Ukrainian. The ban means that Zelensky's main political opposition has been eliminated. The OPPL was the second largest party in the country, and its popularity surpassed that of Zelensky's Servant of the People Party last year. Zelensky, this defender of freedom and democracy in Ukraine, this is what we're told he is, has also had people who disagree with him, dissenters, in other countries arrested, most recently in Spain. People need to remember this when our local leaders here, our Mississippi representatives in Washington, D.C., vote to give them billions of dollars and tell you to your face without laughing that this is about a fight for democracy. It is no such thing. These are Nazis, and this is full-on dictatorship. Ukraine is also, through its security services, rounding up Ukrainians who disagree with the government and this prolonged war with Russia. They are going into their houses, kicking in their doors, and dragging away Ukrainian citizens who disagree with their government. That does not sound like much of a democracy to me. Not at all. Noam Chomsky has weighed in on this, and I thought this was kind of interesting, almost as a quote of the day for False Flag Friday.
I have never seen censorship and repression like today. I mean, even just the blocking of Russian voices, which is insane. Why shouldn't we know what the Russians are saying? Why do I have to go to Al Jazeera to find out what the Russian foreign minister is saying? That's the kind of thing we ought to know. If they have a proposal for ending a blockade that's killing millions of people, why shouldn't I know about it? Well, the censorship is so extreme that you can't. Almost nobody knows unless they go to something like a marginal libertarian website, which happens to be telling the truth.
Or marginal libertarian radio shows.
It's crazy. And not only that, if you bring it up, just talk about it, you're immediately vilified, a Putin supporter, a commie rat, you know. You want appeasement, you want to sell out, and so on. It's pretty astonishing.
Yeah, your media is lying to you. They're censoring these things. This is why when I find an address done by somebody in Russia, their foreign minister or Putin himself, I have narrated it here on the show to let you know what the Russians are thinking, what they are saying as the West tries to shut them out and cancel them as a country while people are dying in Ukraine. Russia does not want this war either. And they have made moves to explain what would end it, and nobody is interested, particularly in the West. Had a couple of quotes of the day as well. Ron Paul said, I think it's a lot better to deal with the world through friendship and trade rather than bombs and intimidation. This was really shocking to me to hear this kind of thing when I was a Kool-Aid drinking neocon warmongering Republican, because the Republicans like Lindsey Graham and John McCain had tricked me into thinking that America's greatness was in its military might. But I heard things like that from Ron Paul, and I went, you know, that's kind of right. Why aren't we friendly? Why aren't we just doing trade? Why do we have to keep harassing all these people? And then there was this quote of the day, Julian Assange. He said, if wars can be started by lies, they can be stopped by truth. And that is why I do this show. Real quickly, to end that, on the heels of a Julian Assange quote, as he continues to rot in Belmarsh Prison in England, and has now been ordered extradited to the United States, where he faces life in prison, if not outright assassination at the hands of people like Mike Pompeo. His wife has put out a message in light of his extradition to the United States.
The U.S. and U.K. are happy to talk about political prisoners abroad, but they've created a political prisoner of their own. At every stage, the law has been abused in order to victimize Julian. He has been silenced. He has been disappeared. The last time Julian was allowed to attend his own court hearing was in January 2021. Every time he's requested to be there in person, those requests have been denied. Julian did nothing wrong. He exposed war crimes. War crimes committed by known individuals. Those who committed the war crimes or responsible for those war crimes have not been held accountable. Julian is in prison because WikiLeaks is a publisher that specializes in the secrets that states keep the most hidden. Julian revealed war crimes by the US government, the world's superpower, in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the fact that it had normalized institutionalized torture. And that superpower took revenge. The position of the UK right now is that it will extradite a publisher to the country that conspired to murder him. How can the UK government even contemplate the extradition of the man who the US was trying to assassinate? This assassination plot was as revenge for what WikiLeaks had published. The story has over 30 US intelligence officials, including very senior and named, going on record and saying that the US government was actively plotting to assassinate Julian inside the UK. This is incredible. This is a country plotting to assassinate a journalist because of what he has published. This is precisely what the UK government criticizes in other states. Conspiring to murder a journalist is wrong. It's wrong if Russia does it, and it's wrong if the United States does it too. But there's a lot of this story that we still don't know. How much did the UK government know? How far was the UK government willing to go along with the US government's plans under the CIA directorship of Mike Pompeo? These are questions that remain unanswered. The United States government is the only one that has committed crimes here. Julian has done nothing wrong. By prosecuting Julian for doing the right thing, they're also denying the existence and the validity of what he exposed.
This clip goes on for 9 minutes. I could play the whole thing. I don't have time for it. What's happening to Julian Assange is a crime. You would think that a free press, that they call themselves here in the United States, journalists would be rallying to the cause of Julian Assange, but they are not, because what we have here in the United States is what the Soviet Union had, which is state-run media, and our leaders themselves, while you will see constant stories about Russians going after their opposition, they don't tell you that Zelensky is currently rounding up dissidents in his own country, snatching them out of their homes, jailing them, and disbanding opposition parties in Ukraine. They won't tell you that, but if there is one hint that Vladimir Putin has gone after a journalist or another politician in the opposition, it is front page news. The United States being the most hypocritical government on planet Earth. And I will mention again, this is the great shame of Donald Trump, that he hired a Mike Pompeo that was frothing at the mouth to murder or kidnap Julian Assange for the crime of publishing deep state secrets. All of us now who have found ourselves opposing this deep state and the corruption within our government should be champions for Julian Assange. Yet people have been convinced, because Mike Pompeo was Trump's guy, that this guy's Julian Assange is an enemy of our country. It is not the case. It is an ongoing tragedy. We'll see if he gets extradited. But this is a great shame of the Trump administration that he left him rotting in a prison cell. I always wondered why he didn't pardon him at the last minute. I had some faith that Trump might pardon Julian Assange before he left office. But now we've learned that he was actually planning on kidnapping or assassinating him, because Mike Pompeo, the blood-soaked war criminal, Mike Pompeo had Trump's ear, and Trump just could not stand up for himself on that issue. Be right back. You know, one of the things I find so fascinating about the Julian Assange story is that so many Republicans and conservatives that I know feel like they're in a battle against the deep state, whether it's the elections, them going after Trump, whatever it is, the deep state, this unelected bureaucracy, the criminality in our government. Republicans and conservatives seem pretty hell-bent on trying to destroy that, yet they don't seem to really care that probably the most effective weapon against exposing the deep state has been rotting in a prison cell. So you've got your main weapon against this group that you say you want to take down, but you don't really care that that weapon has been sidelined. And the reason most people don't care is because it was actually done by Donald Trump, who campaigned on draining the swamp. You actually had somebody that was exposing the swamp, and Trump put him in jail, tried to kidnap him or kill him. One of the other thing about that, too, I almost forgot. I really kind of wonder, do you think we might know a little bit more about who was using the services of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell if Julian Assange was free? You think maybe a leak would have been sent to WikiLeaks to finally know some of the perpetrators of this elite international child sex trafficking ring under the politically connected Jeffrey Epstein and his main madam, Ghislaine Maxwell, if Julian Assange was still out there being a publisher of secret leaks? Yeah, we might actually have gotten to the bottom of that had Jeffrey, Julian Assange been a free man and treated as the publisher that he was. Instead, they've got him rotting in a prison cell. Isn't that convenient at a time where they have some serious secrets they want kept? I remember back after 9/11, one of the dumbest things ever said by George W. Bush, and that's a high bar. He said a lot of awfully dumb things, but one of the things, and I don't know if I fell for this. I think even at the time when I was a George Bush fan and voted for him, riding around with my Bush-Cheney bumper sticker on, I might have bought into this, but I think even at the time I thought, well, that's kind of stupid. What does that even mean? George Bush said they hate us for our freedoms. Ignore the fact that, you know, our sanctions led to the death of 500,000 Muslim children during the 1990s. They don't care about that. They just hate that our women can vote. That's what George Bush tried to convince the American people of, and it largely worked. People still repeat this line. The Sean Hannitys of the world. They still tell you that that part of the world just hates us for our freedoms. Now, let me tell you why they hate us. This is a story that came out this past week. Apparently wary of bad optics during President Biden's upcoming July visit, the U.S. State Department has asked Israel to take a break from provocative actions in Jerusalem and the West Bank until after his trip. Request came from Barbara Leaf, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Near East Affairs, submitted to Israeli officials. Leaf asked Israel to halt actions like home demolitions, evictions of Palestinians, and decisions on settlement building, as well as decrease Israeli military operations in the West Bank until after Biden's visit. They just don't want any bad optics. Now, I know there's a lot of people that listen to this show that probably are mad at me when I take on the government of Israel. I have no problem with Jewish people or the people of Israel. I'd like to go there. I'm sure it's a fascinating place. I dated a Jewish girl for 4 years. But the government of Israel is just as, if not more, corrupt. Well, I don't think it can be more corrupt than the U.S. government, but the government of Israel is nothing that anybody should be carrying water for. Here's what's been going on during Biden's tenure in Israel. During Biden's tenure, Israel has demolished over 1,200 Palestinian structures in the West Bank, leaving more than 1,600 Palestinians homeless. Israel targets buildings that have no permits, yet requests for such permits are seldom granted. One study found that over a two-year period, Israel rejected 97% of permit applications in the largest part of the West Bank. Israel doesn't always destroy the homes of Palestinians. Sometimes it evicts Palestinian families so Israelis can move in. The East Jerusalem neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah has become a prominent flashpoint of that phenomenon. Israel annexed East Jerusalem, but Palestinians still consider it occupied Palestinian territory. Many aspire for it to be the capital of an independent Palestine. In May, thousands of nationalist Israelis marched through the Muslim Old City quarter of Jerusalem on Sunday. Along the way, the mostly young Orthodox Jewish throng chanted racist, genocidal slogans and attacked Palestinians on their property. The Biden administration was silent. And I've done stories on this before where in some places over there, you know, I know most people are taught you got to hate the Palestinians. They're always the ones causing the problems. The Israelis just minding their own business being super duper great. But what can happen with the Palestinians over there is sometimes they just go off to work. They leave in the morning to go off to their job. They go through all the checkpoints. They basically live in an open air penitentiary over there. They go through all the checkpoints, they go to their job, they come home, all their stuff's out in the street. Israel has just given the house to somebody else. Can you imagine how you would feel if you came home from work one day and somebody else was in your house, they refused to leave, and you were suddenly homeless in the house that you had had in your family for decades and decades? Well, the Biden administration wants him to knock that off just for a few days while he's there so there's no bad optics. They don't hate us for our freedom. They hate us for that kind of stuff. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we're about to put another week in the books, and we finish every week the same way as we chronicle the world's descent into madness. Now, I will tell you, though, I was looking through my notes during the break. I've got a lot of stuff to play for this segment called This Week on the Crazy Train. There are some signs of sanity returning to the world in small pockets. So there's some good news along with some pretty funny stuff in today's segment we call This Week on the Crazy Train.
All aboard!
Now, I got to tell you, it's always difficult to figure out what to lead off with on this because there's always so much out there insane in the world these days, but I could not resist leading off with this first story. The audio's not great. The feed I got this off is someone's actually filming their television screen, but get a load of this story here.
These siblings are furious. Their brother, who police say was an armed robber, was gunned down by a store clerk. The pair acknowledges that he was wrong for Roosevelt Rapley to try and rob the Dollar General on North Gettysburg Avenue, but they say the clerk shouldn't have had a gun at work. Rochelle and Juwan Rapley say their younger brother, Roosevelt Rapley, was the second of 10 siblings killed by gunfire.
I still don't believe it. Like, at the end of the day, I don't believe my brother is dead. It ain't kicked in yet.
And they're furious about how it happened.
At the end of the day, that's not right.
Police say a Dollar General clerk shot and killed 23-year-old Roosevelt, who showed a gun and demanded cash Wednesday.
Witnesses indicated that the weapon was brandished and pointed at employees.
The siblings recognize their brother's wrongdoing.
He got some responsibility, but not all.
But they say that still doesn't warrant the clerk's actions.
Right and wrong is wrong. That was wrong for that clerk to shoot my brother in the chest. Yes, he's robbing out. Oh, well. Police, that's what y'all supposed to do. Y'all not supposed to take matters in your own hands. If that's the case, I'm gonna take matters in my own hands.
Police say the clerk was legally allowed to have the gun. Meanwhile, officers are looking into the possibility Rapley may have been involved in several other commercial robberies.
How dare that clerk bring a gun to work and shoot the person who was attempting to shoot him and rob him? The siblings are furious. You know what's really sick, and I'm sure it'll be on This Week on the Crazy Train, when they win some kind of a legal judgment against the Dollar General clerk who shot the person that was holding them up. How dare they bring her? That wrong is wrong. You can't bring a gun to work. Holy cow. Your brother is exactly why people bring guns to work. The ongoing cost of COVID and the clot shot, we're treated to a lot of knock-on effects from what we've gone through over the last couple of years. The hits just keep on coming.
The summer of 2022 is going to be travel hell.
That's pretty much the theme for this summer if you're planning on traveling. Here are the details around the summer of travel hell.
Tonight, the summer travel season off to a messy start. More than 5,000 flights canceled since Thursday, leaving hundreds of thousands of travelers frustrated. Children and newlyweds sleeping on the floor at Atlanta's airport.
When we hit the Atlanta airport, it became 100% chaos.
Disabled veteran Joe Reese was stranded overnight in Atlanta after his Caribbean honeymoon, finally making it home 36 hours later.
They're supposed to have a way to be able to make sure that people like you and I have a way to get from one destination to the next.
Despite all this, airfares still skyrocketing, up 47% since January.
Yeah, your flight may get canceled. It may take you 36 hours on a hard airport floor, but at least it's more expensive.
But experts say the problems won't be easy to fix, blaming a perfect storm, including severe weather, grounding flights, and ongoing pandemic staffing issues.
It takes time to recruit, hire, and train.
After we fired a bunch of people for not taking the experimental genetic therapy, and for all the pilots who did take it, who can no longer qualify to fly because of health problems from the shot.
People to work at airports. The summer of 2022 is going to be travel hell.
And it's not just the airlines. United CEO Scott Kirby today saying staffing shortages at some of the FAA's air traffic control towers are impacting air travel.
They're doing everything they can, but like many in the economy, have staffing issues.
The FAA tonight acknowledging staffing issues at a few facilities due to COVID.
But because of rules the FAA put in place to force everybody to take the shot.
Saying there is not a nationwide shortage. The major U.S. airlines now cutting flights in July and August, hoping the situation gets better.
Airlines have reduced their planned summer flights in order to build up a buffer of pilots, flight attendants, and aircraft. But there's only so much they can be expected to cut back if they still want to be able to serve people.
Yeah, what a mess this has been. Gia with us tonight. And Gia, give us a bottom line here. These airlines and air traffic control towers, do they have enough employees to handle all this?
So, David, the airlines lost thousands of pilots during the pandemic, and it takes years to train new ones. The same for the air traffic control towers. So this really could go into next year.
Yippee. Well, you know, in the summer of travel hell, maybe you should be able to just stay home. Do the what they call the staycation. You know, just head out to your local pool. Well, not so fast.
New information about just how bad this summer's lifeguard shortage could get. The American Lifeguard Association says one third of public pools across the country will be affected. That's forcing cities to close pools or restrict their hours.
Oh, man, we cannot catch a break. They've broken everything. We're going to get into Biden in a second and the inflation. But bottom line is, you know, we just need to suck it up and quit complaining. This is MSNBC contributor. I'll catch her name on the Chiron here, I guess. But she's got a way to deal with stuff. Just shut up. Quit your whining.
Where we are right now.
You know, I'm just going to say this, and if I get banged for it, I don't care. There is a great deal of Americans where it is uncomfortable that they're spending more, but they are not going to go under. You know, you got to stop complaining when there's so many people who literally the inflation rate means they may only have two meals instead of three. There are Americans who did extremely well in the last 2 years in the market. You still have your job. And yeah, it's costing you more for gas, but guess what? You're still going to take that holiday, that 4th of July vacation. You can still eat out. So I'm going to need you to calm down and back off, because it feeds into this fear, and then this fear feeds into people making decisions that creates the very thing that they're fearful of.
Yeah, so just shut up. Quit your complaining. It could always be worse. And my supposition is, yeah, it's gonna get worse. Let's get to Joe Biden. Boy, I got a lot on him today. As the dementia progresses, he's going to provide more material to this show. That feels a little like elder abuse, but if he's abusing us, I think this is only self-defense. Joe Biden was photographed holding a cheat sheet given to him by his advisors, instructing him how to enter a room, how to say hello, how to sit down, talk to other people, and then depart. This is what his cheat sheet said. Quote, you, in all capitals, every time it says you or your, it's in all capitals, so it makes sure he understands who it's referring to. You enter the Roosevelt room and say hello to participants. You take your seat. Press enters, the sheet continues, quote, you give brief comments, 2 minutes. Press departs. You, all caps, ask Liz Shuler, president AFL-CIO, a question. Note, Liz is joining virtually. You thank participants. You depart. How to enter a room, sit down, and leave. Joe Biden needs a cheat sheet for these things. Of course, I don't blame them for doing this. You know, it's not enough. The teleprompter is obviously not working for him. They need to script everything, because when he goes off script, things like this happen. He was talking to a CEO of a company, and here's how he expressed his condolences for the death of one of their team members. Let me get my sound on here.
And by the way, my sympathies to the family of your CFO, who dropped dead very unexpectedly. My best to their family. It's tough stuff.
I'm so sorry about your CFO. He dropped dead. Now, I don't know. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've expressed my condolences to many people. I don't know I've ever thrown in the term, yeah, so sorry, your mom dropped dead. That's Joe Biden off the cuff. Here was a funny one. I think it's very accurate. I think he lets the truth slip out here. He's asked about China tariffs, what they're going to do about removing some Chinese tariffs on things, and he gives the answer twice, the second one being, I think, the most accurate.
Have you made up your mind on China tariffs, sir?
We're in the process of doing that.
You're lifting the tariffs?
We're in the process of making up my mind.
Okay.
I'm going to play this again. Make sure you get that. We are in the process of making up my mind.
You're lifting the tariffs?
We're in the process of making up my mind.
Okay.
We're in the process of making up my mind. Oh, gosh. I don't know if it's better or worse that there's an actual team. There's a team that are making these bad decisions that are coming out of Biden's mouth. This is their solution to the gas problem, as we've talked about earlier in the week.
Well, tonight, will there be a gas tax holiday? President Biden is nearing a decision on whether to pause the national gas tax. He says he's hoping to decide on a gas tax holiday by the end of this week. The move would save drivers more than 18 cents per gallon.
Woo-hoo!
It would require congressional support. AAA today reporting the national average for gas is now just below $5 a gallon. That's the first weekly drop since April.
Now, we all know Joe Biden's just trying to do every single thing he can. Well, except for pump more fuel, pump more oil here in the United States. But he's trying to do every single thing he can. But bottom line, the problem with gas prices is very simple. It's the gas station owners.
The companies running gas stations and setting those prices at the pump. This is a time of war, global peril, Ukraine. These are not normal times. Bring down the price you are charging at the pump to reflect the cost you are paying for the product. Do it now. Do it today.
Today.
Your customers, the American people, they need relief now.
Now, what I hear from this is Joe Biden's blaming gas station owners for the high cost of petrol, as they call it over across the pond, here in the United States. Now, here's my question. Somebody hears that Joe Biden is implicating gas station owners for the high prices, not inflation itself, not the sanctions on Russia and other oil-producing countries, not on cutting off the pipelines, not on refusing to allow more oil exploration, or setting the tone to oil executives that if you pump now, we may cut you off at the knees in 2 years, 5 years, whenever. They've put, obviously, Joe Biden terrible on energy policy. None of those things are to blame. It's the gas station owners. So when there is the first gas station clerk attacked, shot, and killed, will Joe Biden be held accountable for that? He is telling the American people, this is Joe Biden telling the American people, it's the people in that gas station. It's their fault. I told them to lower their prices, but they just won't because they're greedy and they want to hurt you. So when that first gas station clerk is killed or abused or attacked, will Joe Biden be held accountable? I doubt we can hold our breaths on that one. His spokesperson let the truth slip too. The new social justice spokeshole for the White House, she let the truth slip on how Joe Biden is addressing your pain when it comes to inflation.
I mean, the president has been very clear in making sure that he does everything that he can to alleviate the pain that American families are feeling when it comes to gas prices.
Joe Biden's doing everything he can to elevate the pain that Americans are feeling. That is 100% accurate. Like I say, the truth sometimes wants to come out. Of course, we also know it's not just the gas station owners that are at fault when it comes to high energy prices. There's also that familiar foe we have.
So for all those Republicans in Congress criticizing me today for high gas prices in America, are you now saying we were wrong to support Ukraine? Are you saying we were wrong to stand up to Putin?
Yes.
Are you saying that we would rather have lower gas prices in America and Putin's iron fist in Europe?
Yes.
I don't believe that.
No, you should, because none of us care about the Ukraine issue near like we care about the American economy. Now, the sad thing about that is that a lot of Republicans are also frothing at the mouth about Putin's iron fist in Europe. They're convincing you. Of course, they're just talking up the defense industry, hoodwinking a bunch of what would otherwise be rational thinking conservatives and Republicans into supporting the endless military spending. They've been doing that for decades. As I promised, there are some potential returns to sanity, though. Energy prices are spiking throughout Europe, particularly because of the sanctions led by the West against Russia. Germany, this is more pragmatic than it is a return to sanity, but at least it is it's acknowledging reality in Germany, and that's a positive.
And meantime, Germany says that they will have to start again to fire up their coal plants as Russia continues to tighten the flow of natural gas to Europe. Germany calling the move a bitter but necessary step in this environment.
Ah, look at that. The old standby coal. They've rediscovered it, decided maybe it's not so easy to throw away in the first place, particularly when you go all hysterical on Russia and cut off your own energy supply. So anyway, coal making a big comeback in Germany. Well, it's not going to play well with the ESG crowd. I'll be right back.
All over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment of the day here at the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Before I go, though, I always remind you, if you're looking for something to do, it's party time. It's the weekend. You want to get out of the house, enjoy a nice meal, head up to Your Pie in Gluckstadt. That's 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right over there by Germantown High School. 10 and 14-inch brick oven-fired pizzas made the way you want them. You pick the toppings. They also offer paninis, salads, gelato, pastas. They got it all. Beers and wines. A good selection of craft beers, too, if you're into those things. This is a veteran-owned, locally-owned business with a great staff, great atmosphere. You can catch a game on some of the many TVs in there as well. If you're checking out some of the baseball, make sure you check it out. That is Your Pie, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. It is locally-owned, veteran-owned, and if you want to get it delivered, there's only one delivery source for Your Pie's great food, and that is TakeABreakDeliveries.com. Another locally-owned, veteran-owned business, and they are the sole delivery service for Your Pie. So check out either Your Pie in-store itself, and make sure you download the app. You'll get all kinds of goodies and accumulate points. You know, you will go many times. You might as well get rewarded for it. Either come into the store and check it out, or get it delivered by another locally-owned, veteran-owned business of TakeABreakDeliveries.com. All right, I told you I'm going to give you some good news today, too. I spend the last segment of every week's show narrating the world's descent into madness, but occasionally there are signs that the pendulum is swinging in small areas. I do not want to ignore those either. I will also narrate our return to sanity should it start occurring, and in small pockets, it is.
This evening, the International Swimming Federation has banned almost all transgender women from competing in women's events. The new rule now in effect blocking transgender swimmers from major competitions, including the Olympics. It requires athletes to medically transition before the age of 12, before the early stages of puberty. The new rule comes after Leah Thomas became the first transgender woman to win an NCAA swimming championship.
Now, the cutoff at 12 years old makes me a little nervous. A promising young male swimmer or parents going to try to jump on gender transition just to make sure they qualify to compete as a woman. I'm sure we'll see some crazy examples of that. But sanity has returned to swimming. As they say, no more of the dudes. No more of the dudes in the ladies' sports. And this is a great story. I talked the other day at some length about the boomerang effect of the woke and the social justice warrior. I believe that the woke and the social justice warrior and their constant complaining and accusing people of racism and sexism and the Me Too movement and all that stuff have actually boomeranged on them and made most employers want to hire straight white males. The reason being that straight white males can't sue you when they get fired. Typically, they don't have any special standing, no special protected class. And so what's actually happening is employers are starting to catch on to the idea if you hire somebody of a, air quotes here in the studio, protected class, you open yourself to all kinds of problems. Well, now we are finally seeing evidence of that. I love this. This company is Kraken. It is a Bitcoin, a cryptocurrency buy-sell operation, a cryptocurrency exchange. Listen to what they did to their woke people.
The CEO of Kraken says his workers can't stay focused when triggered people keep dragging them into the therapy session, so his solution is simple. Offended employees can quit and take 4 months of pay, but they only have 3 more days to decide if they want to do that. So here to tell us more is the Kraken CEO. He founded the company, Jesse Powell. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks
Good
for having
morning.
Me.
Well, thanks for coming on. This is a different approach from the top boss. Why did you do this?
Well, we had a few people creating distractions for the whole company. And, you know, we had a bunch of people sympathizing with those people. And so we felt like, you know, it'd be better for everyone if these people just, if they weren't comfortable here, if they just moved on. And so we're offering 4 months of severance for those that want to take the, we call it the jet ski. And they can ride off into the sunset with 4 months of pay and find something that'll work better for them.
Did those people take advantage of it?
Yeah, we've had about 30 people so far take advantage for stated culture or mission related reasons. Mm-hmm. That's out of more than 3,000 people. So we're looking at about 1% of the whole company.
All right. So what is the reaction from the other people that work for you?
Overwhelmingly positive.
Really?
Huge amount of support for this move. Huge amount of support for the company's culture and mission and the reinforcement of those. And, you know, I think everyone's just ready to get back to work and stop being distracted.
That's right. They're getting the whiners out of there. I said the other day, never hire the woke. They are going to be a constant source of problem and disruption to your business. You people are complaining your way out of jobs. I can't wait for these people. Hey, yeah, what happened to your last employer? Well, they bought me out because I was such a troublemaker and whiner. I was constantly distracting the mission of the company. Yeah, good luck getting a job anywhere. Never hire the woke. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you later.
No matter Bye-bye. How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.